77 people shot. That's right. The last tally I heard.
Yeah, 77. That's still correct. And then it was in 46 separate incidents, and six of those 77 were killed.
And a couple of them were mass shootings where people just happened to be on the street. I know at 63rd and Artesian, people were just standing around, innocent victims who were shot while they're on, just going about their day on a street corner.
Right. It's, yeah, and, you know, according to Superintendent Brown and Mayor Lightfoot, they both said that that particular shooting was a retaliatory gang effort from an incident that happened last year.
Mm-hmm. Too many guns, illegal guns on the streets, I heard you say, Superintendent Brown said, was reason number one why it's happening. Number two, too many violent offenders on the streets released back into the community. Number three, we're not having the jury trials. I know there's a backlog in the county courthouse. They're not facing penalties, and so they're back on the streets, I guess, is that third one.
Right. That's exactly right. That's what Brown said, and Mayor Lightfoot had kind of echoed that same sentiment a bit earlier, saying that the criminal courts need to reopen and start going through some of these backlogs in order to act as a deterrent.
Yeah, felony bond court. Just today, I saw a report. There was a man who appeared with a pending gun case. He had a second pending felony case. He was in court today on a new gun case. That speaks volumes, I think, about the backlog, maybe more things than that. Alderman Ray Lopez, 14th Ward, is joining us this afternoon. I know you have thoughts on this, Alderman Lopez, 15th Ward. I misspoke. Sorry, you're not 14. You're 15. I know that. How are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Anna. Good afternoon to your listeners. Happy Monday.
Yeah, not a happy Monday at all. When you see something like this happen, you see 77 people shot. It was just a few days ago when we were talking about crime trending in the right direction. I don't know that I bought entirely into that, because if you looked year to year, we still had higher crime numbers. I guess June to June or something like that, they were a bit lower. But this is not the kind of weekend you can point to coming off of this and say we're moving in the right direction as a city.
No, clearly, you know, when the mayor makes these pronouncements that we are trending downward, I don't know if she's actually referring to crime stats or just the general malaise in the city of Chicago. Year to date, even on the city's own dashboards, it shows that murders are up 2021 over 2020. Shootings are up 2021 over 2020. We know that you could play fast and loose with the statistics to make the point that you want to make. But at the end of the day, you know, criminals feel emboldened in the city of Chicago. The example you just gave of what was in bond court today, you know, awaiting trial on a gun charge, caught with another gun, and now going to be sent home again. You know, we know what they're going to do when they go home. They're going to continue doing what their criminality, because they know there is no consequence. And I think for the superintendent, who says it's guns, it's repeat offenders, and it's the jury, you know, the one thing that I've never heard him or Lightfoot say is our policies are having a negative impact on the city of Chicago, that working officers to exhaustion has a negative impact, that having detectives on the second and third watch pulled to go be in uniform standing around downtown and not solving cases has an impact on our city. And we never hear them take responsibility for the role that they themselves play in the increased violence we see in the city of Chicago.
Would you add to that that police feel under attack themselves? Do you think that that plays a role in the way policing is done? I know that police officers wouldn't say that to you, but wouldn't speak about that publicly. But do you think that is having an impact?
I absolutely think that's an impact. You can't be told that you are bad, you are the enemy of the people day in and day out, and still expect them to do their job to the best of their abilities. It wears anyone down. And if you are constantly being made to be the fall guy, the bad guy, you know, it's going to have a psychological impact on top of the fact that you are being mandatory for 12, 13, 14 hours a day and have not been able to take a break to be with your family to decompress. And what we see is that they are being worn down. They are being worn down to the nub in trying to maintain our city. And these situations, like at 63rd and Artesian in Chicago Lawn, where the shooting, where the mayor says it was, or where the superintendent said it was unavoidable and unexpected, mm-hmm. That is an out-and-out lie to the people of the city of Chicago. I know that area. That has been a hot spot for nearly a decade because of the open-air drug market and the two competing stores, we're kitty corner from each other, one a corner store, one a liquor store, where both of them have allowed various factions of individuals to stand out there 20, 30 person deep 24 hours a day. Only an idiot would think that nothing would ever happen at that location. And clearly that is the messaging we're getting from the mayor and the superintendent, who are so ill-informed. They have no idea where these root causes are coming from. And because they have no idea, they don't know how to properly diffuse them in advance before they become mass shooting.
Yeah, you know, that shooting site particularly troubling. You saw all these folks, innocent folks, who were standing around there just on near that street corner, got shot in the crossfire. One woman I was shot in the chest, I believe. She lost her life. You think about what happened there, and the medics who came to the scene, I'm told, were then getting fired upon as well. That's paints quite a picture of what's going on in our city right now about the violence.
We are a neighborhood. We used to be a city of neighborhoods. Now we're a city of war zones. And when you have 10 different ambulances being fired upon trying to get victims out of an active shooting situation, and they can't even do their job correctly, I mean, this is almost like some war zone we see in a movie. But this is the city of Chicago on a Sunday evening. And this is a story that's going to continue to replicate itself, particularly as we look towards the 4th of July weekend. Now, the mayor said early today she'll get back to us on what they're going to do to improve the safety of our residents. And I think that's because, as we've learned from her email, she requires 48 hours to make a decision on anything. Well, Chicagoans can't wait 48 hours for the mayor to come up with a strategy. We need action now. And sadly, I know the superintendent's not up to it. And it looks more and more like the mayor's not up to it either.
All right, you said we need action. I want to pause here, and I want to ask what action you think should be taken, what strategies are not being employed that should be. We're talking with Alderman Ray Lopez about the crime in the city and what should be done about it that isn't already. Just want to go through this again in case you're just joining us. Superintendent David Brown spoke about it at a news conference today. Why is it happening? 77 people shot over the weekend, a very violent weekend. We're heading into the July 4th weekend. Why is it happening? Superintendent Brown says, number one, too many illegal guns on the streets. Number two, too many violent offenders released back into the community. Number three, we're not having jury trials. People are not paying the price for their crimes. Alderman Lopez, I want to read you this text I just got from a listener. See what you think about this. And then I want to get into some of your solutions, some things that you think are not being done, strategies that should be employed. Anna, and all of the reasons Superintendent Brown gives for the violence, he doesn't mention a lack of economic investment in black and brown communities, mental health services, and health insurance for those in the community. There are so many social, emotional, and physical needs disadvantaged people need, which would help meet their what they're going through and support them, which might lessen the violence, in my opinion. Yet the superintendent blames gangs and guns. What do you think about that concern, that perspective, Alderman Lopez?
Well, I think to a point that's a valid perspective, but we always hear that as an excuse for bad behavior. That if we just solved the economic issue, that all of the violence that we attribute to gang and drug life would magically disappear. And I will tell you for a fact that is not 100% accurate. We know that there are individuals out there gangbanging, selling drugs, and running guns who have jobs, who have an economic status that is legitimate and still do all of this. So to constantly say we need more resources, more dollars because of disadvantaged black and brown individuals is not always necessary. What I think that we need to do in the city of Chicago is we need to get serious about addressing those individuals who are 100% committed to a lifestyle that involves gangs and violence. And I don't necessarily believe that the superintendent is up to that task. And I think that the first order of business for Chicago to get back on track is to immediately fire David Brown. He has been a failure to this city ever since his arrival. He did not know what he was getting into. He famously said that we'd be a city with under 300 murders a year, and we're on track to hit a record 800 this year, in my opinion. So we need to have a superintendent who can immediately reorganize and reprioritize this department to one that it takes action in ensuring that those habitual, committed magnets of violence, those individuals who nothing we offer will change them, are dealt with and arrested. And I think that, you know, to his point about, you know, consequences, we need to start calling them out the criminals, as well as their enablers in the community and the justice system that allows them to go back into a neighborhood. If there's a criminal coming back into my neighborhood because of Kim Fox or the courts or whomever else, when Chicago police have done their job, we should be praising the police and calling out those other individuals who are going to, whose actions are going to negatively impact our neighborhoods. Not this, you know, pretty, you know, finger pointing that we do at a press conference. No, I mean, we need to start full on calling people out so that everyone knows who's responsible for what's going on in our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Publicly calling people out or publicly calling them out in the, by way of going to court and charging them? I mean, what is it you mean when you say...
Well, I mean, we don't get to do the charges. That's something that Kim Fox's group. But if she's going to let someone out again who's already on electronic monitoring for weapons charge and gets caught and arrested for another weapons charge, if she's not going to pursue charges, or if she does and the judge gives them a reduced sentence or sends them home with electronic monitoring again, we need to start calling them out publicly. If we have to hold press conferences about every case that goes on, we need to start raising the alarms in a very public way, because when you start shedding the light on what action's going on in these courtrooms, the judges, who are all elected, start behaving differently. And right now, no one has ever talked about holding judges accountable for how they allow these criminals back into our streets. Mm-hmm. There are things that we can do now. There are things that we are proposing about holding parents accountable, holding landlords accountable. All of those things are on the books now. But at the end of the day, if we don't start holding our judicial partners and our state attorney partners accountable for what we need, nothing is going to change.
One of the things
you have to have leadership that wants to stand up against them, and we don't have that in the police department or the mayor's office right now.
One of the things that came to light is that both the police and the mayor's office disagree with the Cook County State's Attorney's Office about how illegal weapons charges should be handled, and that if you're caught with an illegal weapon, Kim Fox is saying that we're not sure that that means you're necessarily going to use it. I think it's misplaced to devote so many police resources in that area, and yet the police are pulling more illegal weapons off the streets of Chicago. They did this year than L.A. and New York combined. There are a lot of them out there, and you wonder, should the person who's caught with one of those be considered to be a threat to the community? Should there be more serious charges?
We know and have heard anecdotal evidence where individuals who are carrying a weapon sometimes are carrying it for their own safety, let alone to do anything else other than protect themselves. I understand what Kim Fox is saying, but to apply that standard to everyone is a false narrative that gives cover to criminals who truly are not trying to just simply get from point A to point B and protect themselves. You have a vast majority of these individuals who have illegal guns on them who are intending to use them on victims, not necessarily to keep them safe. And I think the failure of Kim Fox's office and her leadership style is that you're painting everyone with broad strokes to avoid having to make the tough decisions about those individuals who are intentionally and willingly trying to cause harm in our neighborhoods. We must hold people accountable. There's nothing wrong with having accountability for your actions. But to do so in a way that gives everyone a reprieve in the name of a few is just wrong.
Alderman Lopez, just a minute left here. It's been an eventful week for sure in City Council. Lots going on there. Can you kind of update us here, what we need to know, what we might have missed the last seconds we have?
Well, I think in a nutshell, what we saw was a City Council that's finally shaken loose the cobwebs and came alive not only Wednesday but Friday as well, voting against the mayor on some of her projects. And I hope that my colleague's newfound strength can be turned, pivoted, and applied towards fighting the violence in our streets. Clearly, if the mayor's unable to lead or push her superintendent to move forward, then City Council must act and must do so swiftly.
Yeah, I hear you on that. It's interesting to see the priorities in council. There's a lot going on in the city, and sometimes I feel as if there's a little bit of a disconnect between what the city is council is focusing on and what folks are actually dealing with. I don't know what the city council can do about crime, but it certainly seems that's front and center on the minds of a lot of residents.
I think that, you know, we need to stop playing games and fighting on the periphery for those feel-good moments. We need to start knuckling down and addressing the violence in our streets. You know, naming streets and bad are great, but making sure that our residents are safe, making sure that they can go home and enjoy this holiday weekend when we should all be celebrating together, not being terrified of being gunned down, should be our priority now and moving forward.
Alderman Lopez, thanks for the time. 15th Ward Alderman, good hearing from you. Yeah, you too. Take care. It's Alderman Ray Lopez. It's